Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, Insights and Publish Magazine and Broadcast, where visionaries and those on the rise come together to find immediate impact. And today I am really excited because I have with me John Cody. John is the author of the Amazon number one bestseller, Mobilize Your Customers, and he is also CEO of Rocket Social Marketing. He grew up in Connecticut and graduated from Central Connecticut State University with a business degree. He then joined the Marine Corps and served as an officer and naval aviator for 10 years, attaining the rank of major. After completing his service, he was hired as a pilot with a major U.S. airline. Not content to sit still, he started several businesses while continuing to hone his marketing skills. Sensing a massive change in the marketing world during 2008, he decided to shift his focus. John launched Rocket Social Marketing to provide cutting-edge social media, video and mobile marketing expertise for it entrepreneurs, businesses, authors, and speakers. John has been married to his wife, Jennifer, for over 21 years, and their entrepreneurial nature has led them to start several companies together. They have a daughter and two sons, whom they adopted together as a sibling group from overseas, and they currently reside in Huntsville, Alabama. And John, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your wisdom.
Oh, I appreciate the invitation. It's a great honor, and I thank you for having me on.
You know, your background is absolutely fascinating, and I ran into you at a teleseminar that I was attending, and I was just so impressed with all you've done, particularly in an arena that is so dynamic in a very short time. So I thought maybe you could tell us a little bit about how you came to this great passion and purpose of your work that you're contributing to the world now. How did that evolve for you?
Well, thanks. I appreciate that intro. That was very kind of you to say. For me, it really kind of came down to almost a necessity thing. And after 9/11, obviously that changed, I think, everyone's perspective on the world and what was possible, you know, good and bad. And so, you know, I was concerned, you know, I was working for this major airline, and all of a sudden it occurred to me, wow, I could be out of a job shortly. And what would I do? How would I provide for my family and everything else? So I decided that I should probably, you know, start looking into, you know, maybe doing some consulting work and things like that from my military background and expertise, which I did for a while, and that kind of morphed into marketing eventually and, you know, brought me to where I am here. And so a couple of years ago, when the social media marketing was really just, people were just starting to understand, you know, the concept of what it was, and businesses were really starting to get an idea of what to do with it. I found that a lot of small businesses and medium-sized businesses just didn't really have a good handle on exactly what they should be doing. You know, what was a Facebook fan page? I mean, 3 years ago, that didn't even really exist. And so we, you know, saw an opportunity in the market to kind of go out and educate people on this and to help them to increase the revenue in their business so that they could spend, you know, more time at home and with their families instead of, you know, spending it at night racking their brains trying to figure out where their revenue was going to come from.
Well, you know, that it's so wonderful, and it's still an area that's continually evolving and remains an area of mystery for a number of us. So the work you're doing to really clarify that and show people how they can use that to their advantage is awesome work right now. You know, John, I know you spoke to collaboration, and you spoke to collaboration in your bio about actually doing business with your wife, which is sometimes challenging, doesn't work for everyone. Tell me a little bit about your feeling about collaboration, and especially what the experience was for the two of you to work together.
Well, you know, like as with anything else, you probably heard some of the old jokes about, you know, never teach your wife how to golf or your spouse, I should say, how to golf or drive, because you'll both walk away angry and not be happy about it. And as a former pilot, that they used to throw in teaching them how to fly either. But, you know, for us, we, you know, we kind of looked at it as, you know, an opportunity to do some cool stuff together. We didn't have any children at the time. You know, that wasn't part of our journey yet. So we had you know, the time and the means and everything else. So we wanted to try some things out, and we did. And some worked and some didn't. But the bottom line was we were able to, you know, to work together and keep the, you know, it's hard to keep the business aspect of it separate from the personal part of it. You know, personalities obviously are going to come into play and everything, but, you know, that's just something that we realized and understood, and that, hey, when we were at home, there was a time that we had to shut off the business aspect of it and have some us time, you know, some time to go out and just have dinner and have some fun or go on vacation or whatever. And so anyone who's considering that, you know, it's not for everybody. I would totally agree with that. There are some extra challenges in there, just like doing business with family members. I mean, for me personally, I thought it was easier to work with my wife than it was, and I've seen friends of mine who are entrepreneurs who have done business with other family members. And you know, you can do business with family. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it brings a different dynamic, and it can be more difficult. So for me anyway, it didn't, for the two of us actually, we were able to work through it. And, you know, there were trying moments just like anything else, but you just try and keep, you know, the personal side, you know, your married side apart from the business side, and that seemed to work pretty well for us.
How do you feel about collaboration in general? Is this something that you feel is important in today's business? And what do you think, if so, makes a successful collaboration?
Absolutely. And we actually just came back from a meeting this morning. We're doing a strategic partnership with a company that's been around for a long time. They've been doing you know, all kinds of different marketing design, PR, lots of different things like that. And when they saw the technology piece that we had, they don't, you know, the marketplace is changing so rapidly, they don't have time or the resources to try and devote a couple of full-time people over to this and try and catch up to me. I mean, it would be almost impossible for them to do it. So they, you know, saw the opportunity and approached me after I had spoken at a local event, and we spoke. And, of course, you know, we'll get to the book here in a minute, but, I mean, that was a big part of it. All of a sudden, I get introduced as a best-selling author. That's a big deal, no matter where you go. And so all of a sudden I've gotten, you know, tons of calls. People are saying, well, hey, you know, we've seen your stuff. We read your book. We thought it was great. We'd love to collaborate and work together with you. So we actually have currently two and potentially three partnerships that we're doing with marketing firms that you might consider them to be competitors, but we don't. You know, we look at it and say, well, you know, they can take their piece of the pie. We can handle some other stuff that they don't really have the technology to do. But they can bring to me clients that I would not necessarily have had access to, you know, some good, you know, 7- and 8-figure business a year type clients that, you know, would have been more difficult for me to get introductions to. And now I can walk right into the meeting and I'm already vetted out as far as they're concerned, because they've been doing business with this other, these other organizations. So I'm really a big proponent of that. I think collaborating with other companies is a great way to start.
Yeah, and it sounds as if you come in bringing something to them, not just asking something from them. So there's truly a win-win situation built into the collaborations that you entertain and that you actually pursue.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. You know, when you look at, again, you know, when we have these meetings and kind of set up some preliminary ideas of what we're going to do and how we're going to move forward, my first questions are usually, well, how do you see me fitting in to what you're doing currently? Give me an example. I'll sign a non-disclosure. That's fine. And kind of let's talk about one of your clients and what are you doing with them now? What are their challenges? How can I bring value to make you guys look like rock stars? And I don't, if, you know, if we want to white label it, we can do that. If they want to throw me in there with my name and my company, which there's really all of them want to do because now I have a bestseller and it helps to associate them with that brand. And so everyone that we've been dealing with so far, clients and their clients have been just ecstatic. I mean, they've just really enjoyed the process and the fact that they're getting, you know, new and different directions, things they never would have considered before. So, yeah, I guess that speaks to that.
Well, since you just mentioned your book, John, and the fact that it was so extraordinary and it became a bestseller, tell me a little bit about when and why you decided to start writing.
Okay. Yeah, I actually was not an aspiring writer. I read somewhere, I forget where, who put the stat out, if it was ComScore or somebody, or maybe it was the Publishers Association, said that 82% of all Americans are interested in writing a book. They feel they have some kind of story to tell or technology they want to tell people about or whatever. And I found that to be stunning, considering that only about 15% of Americans actually buy a book in a given year. So hopefully the Kindle will change that and more people will buy books, but you know, digitally or otherwise. But for me, It's something I had considered for a while, and my wife and I actually have an adoption story. We adopted our three children from overseas, and we had considered writing that story. But in the meantime, I was at a conference in the spring, and one of the gentlemen on the stage was talking and mentioned how he had written a book and gotten it published through the Amazon Kindle Direct program basically in a couple of weeks. And I was like, wow, I didn't know she could do something like that. That's pretty interesting. I want to hear more. So he talked more a little bit about it on stage, gave us, you know, a few tips and pointers. And so I took that. It was probably about a 25-minute speech that he gave. And I kind of, you know, took that and rolled with it. And so basically decided, okay, well, I can do this. I sit in front of clients and talk with them about all this stuff. And I can only reach one person at a time when I do that. And that's not an efficient use of my resource of, you know, my time. Everyone only has a limited amount of time. We need to go out there and get as many get in front of as many people on our platform as we can is the way, you know, I've been taught and the way I look at it. So I said, all right, well, why don't I write a book about all the things that I'm talking about with all these business owners over and over and over again, some of the tactical things that they can do and change in their business that will give them very quick, gains in revenue. So that's what I decided to do. So I basically literally got my iPhone out, and on the way to and from the airport a couple weeks in a row, it's about a two-hour drive for me, I literally just put my headphones in and started talking, and then I had it transcribed. I edited it a couple times, sent it out to be edited. I wouldn't exactly say professionally edited, but it was edited by several other people as well. We got some artwork done, again, very inexpensively online through an outsourcing company, and had it formatted, and it took me about 30 total hours. Now, I did take some time off in between because I had a lot of new clients going on. So overall, it was about about 10 weeks or so, maybe 3 months at the total outset of the total amount of time that was elapsed. But I did it in a total of about 30 hours, and all of a sudden I published the book. It went out on Amazon, and a couple hours later it hit number one in the direct marketing category, or number two actually, and then a couple of weeks later it hit number one. So it was just, I just couldn't believe the response. It was phenomenal, and it's just completely, it's been a total game changer for us. It really has helped bring us in directions that I had never considered before.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, considering the fact that you hadn't even entertained writing a book, what was there anything you found particularly challenging in the process?
I think for me, the editing was part of the problem. I mean, you know, for anyone out there who's, not necessarily ADHD, but, you know, you're kind of a perfectionist, you know, and as a pilot and a military, you know, person, you kind of have this mentality of how you're going to, you know, do the best you can, obviously, everything, and you just kind of have this perfectionist mentality. And I had to let a little bit of that go and say, you know, look, I wanted it to look good and be formatted properly. I wanted it to sound good and be coherent. Obviously, I didn't want to just put out junk. So I spent a lot more time than I had anticipated on the editing portion of it. So, you know, looking back on it now, I'll probably send it out to get it. You know, I'll do the first cut and then let somebody else edit it. But that was the biggest challenge for me. That's what took the most time. I probably spent a good I would say about 20 of the hours or so, almost 20 of the hours on editing the book. And that's not a lot of time in the grander scheme of things when you look at, you know, writing a book. Now, this isn't a big Tom Clancy, huge 500-page book. And in print form, I believe it's about 80, 85 pages or something like that in soft cover format. So it's not hugely long, but, I mean, there's a lot of value that I put in there. I mean, I give away a lot of the secrets and the things that I do with my clients, knowing that, you know, hey, if I can help some struggling business owners out there, then that's fantastic. And if they can't afford me, I understand that. I'm happy to help them. I mean, we do YouTube videos. I have a YouTube channel where people can go and get some free training to help them, you know, get a better idea of how to get to, you know, wrap their hands around this whole social media monster and how they're going to get, you know, more clients and revenue through that. So I guess that was probably my biggest challenge with it.
Wow. So, you know, I guess the question that I just have to ask is, since you're such an expert with marketing in general and specifically for the new marketing on the internet with social media and so forth, how did you get this book to bestseller?
Well, that's the trick of it, right? I get this question asked a lot, and I've had a lot of fiction authors ask me the same, and I've actually tried to help some fiction authors. And, you know, to be honest and full disclosure, I had a couple of friends who already had published some fiction books that, you know, some were towards the category of the young adult category, but, you know, they were pretty good books. I read them, I enjoyed them, I thought they were good, and I was trying to help them promote them. And we never really could move the needle on it. We were having a really hard time with fiction. So I haven't solved that part of it. And I think there's still a lot of people in the industry. There's a certain amount of luck, I think, that goes into it. I know people who spend a ton of time on social media that have fiction books and have had no success. And I know other people who spend no time on social media and got discovered in some other way, and they're selling Kindle books and making, you know, and selling, you know, millions of copies every year, hundreds of thousands of copies. So for me, it was all about joint ventures and email lists. I sent this out to all my clients, and, you know, basically I targeted a particular category that was, you know, fairly specific, direct marketing and marketing in general, and we sent out an email to everyone and let them know, hey, my book is about to be released in a couple of days. I also got together with people that I've worked with in the past that have lists of their own, email lists. And then we have a text messaging and email marketing kind of technology that we use that does a bunch of other things as well that we sent, you know, so it wasn't just emails. We were sending text messages out and a few other things like that to get generate interest and get more people to buy it, and specifically geared towards let's do it all in this one day. We're going to launch it. And so it was like a big product launch, and we wanted to get as many people to download it on in 1 or 2 day period so that you tweak the numbers as fat, you know, all in those 1 or 2 days that you get as many sales as you can, and that shoots you right up the list. And we did that, of course, without, we didn't do any major media interviews. You know, I'm not anybody that's in the major media or anything that anybody would know who I am. So that's how we did it, through joint venture partnerships and through emails. And, you know, hey, it doesn't hurt to have, you know, mom, dad, brother, sister, cousins, uncles, your friends on Facebook, everybody. And so because it was an ebook initially, we do have a soft cover version coming out shortly. I priced it at 99 cents intentionally. I wasn't really concerned about making money off the book per se. I wanted to get the maximum number of sales that I could to get me onto the bestseller list. And so all those strategies together worked.
Oh, that's fantastic. Really fantastic. Was there anything else you learned from writing your book, maybe even something you learned internally that moved you a different way than you thought it might, the experience in general?
Yeah, I think for me, Vicki, it was really there wasn't really so much that, you know, that you kind of think of the writer, you know, and the writer's journey and the painful, tortured artist's soul, you know, going out there and pouring their heart out. I mean, that's a great story, but that was not my story. For this particular book, it was a book about marketing. It was a topic I knew really well. So it flowed out of me fairly quickly. I think for me, really, the ultimate realization of, wow, this is something way beyond what I ever anticipated what it would be, was when I released it and got it up to number 2 on the bestseller list, and I put out, you know, some emails and put it on Facebook and told some people. And all of a sudden, almost right away, I got an invitation, hey, would you like to be a speaker on a panel here in San Diego for this social media conference? Yeah, I guess so, sure. I mean, that's a huge game changer. And so that led to, you know, the interview that you happened to see. And then now that's led to this interview, and I've done a lot of, you know, local media and things like that, but it's starting to get me out on the national stage in a way that I never really had anticipated. And when I say national stage, I don't mean I'm on Fox News or NBC or ABC or Oprah show or anything like that. I mean, it would be great if I could get up there and do those kinds of things, but right now we're getting a huge amount of success in our business just from the joint venture partnerships that we're being offered from, you know, large marketing companies are saying, hey, we don't have this piece, and obviously you know what you're doing. We've read your book. We love it. We think this is the way we want to go. Can you help us out with this? So I think that was the biggest realization for me, was all of a sudden just saying, wow, this is, I mean, I worked for almost 4 years to get the business to this point, and I don't know what the numbers are at the moment, but, I mean, we're growing our business. By the end of the year, we'll probably have doubled our business in just the last couple of months over this.
That is so fantastic, really, really fantastic. And, you know, I interviewed a gentleman not too long ago that has a movement, a cause for not complaining. And he actually released that to local media. And before you know it, he was all over the place, on everything, Oprah, you name it. All the big media outlets couldn't get enough of him. And Maya Angelou is supporting his cause, and he has now, after just a couple of years, over 7.5 million followers. So
wow,
I wanted to share that with you, because he didn't even start with as strong a start as what you have going. So it's very exciting. What, you know, I can't wait to see what this looks like in a year from now. I really can't.
Thanks.
It's incredible.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
I was wondering, do you have any tips for writers of any nature, any subject matter, just how they can make their writing more fulfilling, and how you've already named some of the achievements that have been incredible for your business, but is there anything personal or otherwise that really, you know, when you think about it in future books, would make your writing even more fulfilling for you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, again, I never set out to be an author. I was a business major. Obviously, I do a lot of writing with, you know, emails, and we do copywriting and things like that for a lot of our marketing. So I'm not a professionally trained writer by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, actually, your question reminds me of an interview that I once read of Robert Kiyosaki. He wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, the books are fairly simple. They tell a great story. There's a lot of interesting things in there. And as you buy, you know, the further ones on, they have a lot of great, you know, information in them. And some people love them, some people don't. You know, that's great, whatever. But my point is that he was being interviewed at one point in, I believe it was Singapore or somewhere over in Westpac. And the interviewer had, you know, a degree from Brown, and she was a journalism major, and, you know, had a PhD and all this stuff. She's just, you know, a great person. She's interviewing them. And after the interview was over, she asked him what he would recommend to her to help her career, to best, you know, get her moving forward, because, you know, he had such success. And he told her that he suggested that she go out and get some professional sales training. And she actually became offended by that and said, why would I mean, I have a PhD and all this, and I'm a professional journalist, and I write for all this stuff, and I have all these, you know, accolades. Why would I do that? That seems beneath me almost. And he said, well, look, and right on the stand next to them where they were interviewing, he pointed at his book, and he said, look at the gold foil seal. It says best-selling author, not best writing author. And I thought that was extremely powerful. And he said at the time he thought that he might actually get a bad review from her about it, but she wrote a great review about the book and everything, and he never really heard from her again. But the point was that I think a lot of people get wrapped up as authors. And again, I'm coming to this from a completely different perspective than, you know, the typical writing course or author type course, that, you know, the book's got to be perfect or this has got to be perfect. And they sweat the details over, you know, stuff that, you know, look, I mean, speed to market means something too. And depending on what it is you're writing, if you're writing a piece of fiction, this probably doesn't apply to you. But if you're writing something that's an inspirational story or, you know, a technological book of some kind, teaching people things or whatever, I just really feel that, you know, just for me, instead of writing it, just speaking it, because as you can tell, I like to talk and I just kind of go on and on, but I spoke it into the microphone and it just came together very, very quickly for me. And the editing process was the more difficult part. So I would say, you know, hold yourself to a high standard, but be reasonable about it as well and put something out there. I mean, for me, I'm already working on my second book. I hope to have it out by the end of the year, another marketing book, and I'll probably do, you know, a couple of books a year at least for the foreseeable future. And I could do more if I had more bandwidth, if I wasn't running my business. So I hope that answers your question.
It definitely does. Thank you so much. And John, I was wondering, is there a message in the book that you've written or the new book that you're in the process of writing that you really want readers to grasp?
For me, the biggest thing is, as a business owner, and that can include someone who is literally a sole proprietor, you know, who's struggling to, you know, to figure it out. They got this great idea. They had an entrepreneurial seizure, you know, and they said, hey, I bake great cookies. Or, you know, for my wife, it was, she owned a dog biscuit bakery. I mean, she made these great dog biscuits that were all natural, and people loved them, and they kept saying, you should open a store, and so she did. And she had an entrepreneurial seizure one day and said, I came home, and she said, hey, I just rented a space, and we're going to get baking materials, and we're going to be, you know, doing this dog biscuit bakery. I just looked at her like, what? I was still in the military, you know, flying. I had no concept of running a business or anything. So anyway, it was kind of funny. But for most people, they get to this point where, you know, all of a sudden they realize, well, there's a lot more to it than just being an expert in that one particular category. They've got to put on all these other hats. They've got to be marketing. They've got to be accounting and everything else. The best thing I can advise you to do is to, as quickly as you can, you know, try and get, you know, do things that are going to be revenue positive, that are going to make you, you know, money as quickly as possible, and put that into systems to train the people that you're working with. So, for example, you know, or that you're going to be working with. So if you're the one who's baking the biscuits, you can't do that all day. If you're going to make your business successful and grow it, you've got to train someone, hire them, make a video on how to do it real quickly so that if that person doesn't work out, you can just tell the next person, hey, here's a video on how to do this. Here's all the things you need to do. Here's the checklist. Get your systems in place and then move on to the next thing. Then, you know, and then outsource the bookkeeping and the marketing and everything else and get to the point where, you know, if you're going to build your business and you want to make it into a very large business and own a business, which is an asset, but not own a job. I mean, most entrepreneurs who are sole proprietors, they do own the business, but they really own a job. They can't ever really leave it. If they were to leave, the revenue would stop. And for any business owner that, you know, I would encourage you to get to the point that you're getting out there and being able to go out and take a week or two vacation with your family and come back and have the business in just as good or better shape as it was when you left it.
That is such great advice. And, you know, I find myself if we open up a new book, because we do a number of best-selling books that are anthologies, and if we open up a new book or we start up a new magazine or we do something in that realm, I'll find myself right in the middle of it initially. And I have to kind of, you know, shake myself up and say, no, get the system in place, you know, because the enthusiasm alone, even if you have great systems in place, for me, even when I start a new project, there's an inclination to go there. And that's such great advice, such really great advice, John.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And it's kind of funny. This is a very timely thing here, actually. My wife just actually walked into the office. We got we have this piece of software and training that helps new author, people who are considering taking this journey that I just did. And the package just arrived because my wife also is now going to be writing a book. She's partnering with a couple of the women that she met at this conference we were just at, and they're going to write a book. And, I mean, to give you some inspiration, my 14-year-old daughter, who I mentioned before, our three children were all siblings, you know, blood siblings. They were in an orphanage in Poland and living, you know, there for 2 years. Their mother had died. Their father had abandoned them. And, obviously it's our story. I'm interested in it because it's our story. But we touched a lot of people are interested in it when we tell them about it. But she's had a very difficult journey making the transition from being a six-year-old girl in an orphanage in Poland who doesn't speak any English to coming to the United States and trying to make that transition. But she's actually doing a really good job now, and she's actually been writing some poetry that, you know, we've had some other people tell us they think is quite good. So she's actually looking at putting out a series of poems into a book and publishing her own book as well. So if a 14-year-old girl can do it, who grew up speaking two different languages, not even English, you know, until she was six, anybody out there can do it.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is just, it's so empowering to even hear that. That's just wonderful. So, John, tell me a little bit about your current projects.
Sure. I can't really tell you the specific title about it. I can tell you that it has to do with social media and one of the newer cutting-edge technologies with one of the social media sites and how you can use it for your business. And I'll be happy to, you know, share that with you once we have it out, because it's such a new thing. There's really no other books about it. And now that I'm kind of teaching people how to, you know, write books really quickly, I don't want someone to write this book out from underneath me in the next 2 weeks. So, in a couple of weeks, hopefully it should be available and ready to go. And I'll be happy to send you the information on it so you can put it out to your readers and to your platform. But, you know, to give you a general idea, the books that I'm writing that I'm looking for in the future are all about helping small and medium-sized businesses make that leap from, I don't know what to do. You know, they're in marketing and they're looking at, you know, yellow pages, radio, TV, print. I'm sorry, but most of this stuff just isn't working anymore. I mean, who watches commercials on TV anymore? And things like that. So what I'm trying to do is put out books that will help people to get a better understanding of how they can use this technology, not for the sake of the technology. I mean, I don't care if you have 10,000 likes. I can buy you 10,000 likes for a couple hundred bucks online. It won't be worth anything to you. It looks impressive on your fan page, but, you know, there's plenty of services out there that'll do that for you. The objective here is not to get the maximum number of likes. The objective is to get engagement and tell your story and get people excited about you and get them talking about you. I mean, whether you love Apple or hate Apple, and I'm a big Apple fan, you've got to admit they do advertise, but they really pretty much hardly even need to advertise because the whole world knows exactly what's going on, and people spend countless hours you know, writing these blog posts and video posts and speculating what's coming up next. You know, on October 23rd, they've got their next technology event that they're going to probably announce. This, I think it's the iPad mini they're going to call it. The iPhone 5 came out. Everyone knew all about it before it came out, but it was this massive, huge press event, and everybody was there and blogging all about it. And so, you know, my objective is to try and get people to understand, hey, you've got a group of people who love you, who love your business, who know, like, and trust you. Get them to be your salespeople, just like Apple does. And that's the whole point of social media, to move that meter, to get people talking about you on social media, to increase your revenue. Getting 1,000 likes or whatever, that's nice, but if it's not bringing revenue in your business, there's no point in it. It's pointless.
That is a really important point to make. And I was just wondering, you know, everything you're doing, John, is so innovative. Where do you find support for these innovative ideas?
Well, actually, I've gotten hooked into a couple of great, you know, groups of technologists, people who, you know, sell this technology. And if it's okay for me to mention them, I will. If not,
sure.
I can talk to you about it offline. You know, Mike Koenigs over at Traffic Geyser, an Instant Customer, is the one who, you know, came up with this software, and they have some incredible training that they do along with it. And they took me from, you know, I had a pretty good idea of marketing, you know, traditional marketing, but in the last 3.5 years, their training and systems and software has taken me from, you know, basically, you know, kind of starting in social media to where I am today. And he was the one, along with Paul Colligan, helps him, you know, run some of the training in his business. And some of the people that are also have been successful with their organization that have built seven-figure businesses. And these people, you know, it's literally is like a family. I've never seen anything like it before, where they, you know, gladly will take you under their wing and talk to you about, well, this and that. And obviously, I'm not talking with Mike Koenig. He's a multi-million-dollar, you know, producer of software and everything. But I know Mike well enough that if I had a big deal or something big come up, I have access to him and other people that he's worked with. And I had a question the other night, you know, it's like 11 o'clock at night, and I had this thing come up that I needed an answer on, and I went out to the Facebook forum page where, you know, there's a private group, and kind of put it out there and said, hey, I've got this problem. Can you guys help me with this? And I had an answer in 5 minutes. So it's a great group of individuals. I heavily encourage you to you know, anyone to go out and get into a mastermind group. You know, I have a great mastermind group that I'm in that it's just three of us, but we all work in similar but sort of different areas. Actually, I'm sorry. Yeah, my wife's giving me a hard time. She's like, there's four of us in the group. She's right. There's my wife and I and two others. But in any case, you know, it's having a mastermind group, especially when you're a solopreneur, you know, you're that one person fighting against all odds, you're trying to build your business or write your book or whatever it is, it can get very lonely. You're sitting in that office in front of the computer trying to figure out what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and everything else. And getting out there and putting these ideas out can help you to broaden your horizons in ways you never would have imagined. And I know that for a lot of people, that's extremely difficult to give up that control. They're concerned that, well, if I put this idea out, somebody's going to steal it. And I just gave you a demonstration of that right now. And because of the way the technology has changed, you know, yeah, if one of my big competitors heard me talking about this and knew how to write a book like I do in just a couple of weeks, if I were them, I would absolutely go and write about the topic that I just told you I didn't want to talk about yet, because I didn't want it to be publicized quite yet. But we freely and openly share, you know, hey, these are our numbers. This is the proposal we put out. What do you guys think of this? You know, we're trying to do this. We're doing this for a trade show client. We're doing this in this niche and industry. Or, hey, I've never worked with a car dealership before. Anyone out there working with a car dealership, what are you doing? I mean, I've talked with people in Australia via Skype and had, you know, great tips on, yeah, this is what we're doing for a local car dealership down here in Melbourne, and it's working great for them. Well, I mean, if it's working down there, it'll work up here too. And so I found that, you know, masterminding and getting into, you know, forums and groups of people like that is it could easily make the difference between whether you make it or not.
Oh, that's so powerful, really, really powerful advice. And I know I belong to several mastermind groups too, and that has been my experience as well. It's invaluable. There's no way to even put a dollar figure on what you can get from that. So thank you so much for that recommendation. What inspires you, John?
What inspires me? You know, I've seen I've seen a lot of things. I was in the military. I've traveled all over the world. I've seen some great things, and I've seen some not so great things. I've seen, you know, in my own personal life, one of our sons that we adopted is deaf, and I've seen what technology can do to help change people's lives. So my son Peter was born deaf, never heard a word, couldn't hear anything at all. He's stone deaf. We adopted him when he was 4.5 years old. About 3 weeks after we got him back, we were living up in the Northeast. We took him to NYU and the medical center, and he had a cochlear implant installed. And just real quickly, a cochlear implant is not just like a hearing aid. It's actually an implant that goes into their around their cochlea and has a computer hooked up to it that allows them to actually hear. It's not just turning up the volume. It's actually programmable with millions of possible permutations. It's practically an art form to get one of these things programmed. And he's constantly going in for speech therapy. And, you know, my wife spends countless hours working with him every day. But, you know, this is, you know, my son who couldn't hear anything until he was, you know, 4.5 years old, where now he can have a conversation with you. He can, you know, hey, Peter, how was your day today? Oh, it was pretty good. I went swimming. I had lunch with mommy. And, you know, he's a little difficult to understand here and there. But, I mean, this is a child who all of a sudden went from being stone deaf to now he likes to watch American Idol and judge whether or not they're good singers or not. And that's a priceless thing. And this is just speaking as a father. I mean, seeing my son go from not being able to hear anything to all of a sudden his eyes light up and he looks at you because, you know, he heard that sound. I don't know if you could hear that, you know, me not being to death. All of a sudden he hears something and he's not sure what that is. And he turns around, he looks at mom and he sees, oh, what's that other noise? Woof, woof. Oh, that's the dogs barking. Well, what are the dogs barking about? Okay, so that's what a dog bark sounds like. Oh, they're looking at the door. Someone must be at the door. He opens the door. Oh, that's home from work. So now he knows that when he hears, you know, this and that, it means different things. I mean, that's when you think about the incredible leap that is. We all take that for granted. And now they're using technology to help blind people see and a lot of other incredible things as well. So those are the things that really get me going in the morning when I get up. I see, you know, there's a lot of bad news in the world and bad things happening, but you know what? There's some incredible technologies that are coming today that are, you know, and here in Huntsville, we have a biotech institute, and they're working on, you know, curing Alzheimer's, curing cancer, being able to do, you know, a friend of ours has had his second liver transplant because his first one was rejected after 5 or 6 years, and he had to wait 5 years doing dialysis to get the new one. Well, there's medical technologies that are coming out now that will allow them to basically, you know, create and grow those kinds of organs out of your own cells in an ethical manner that will change the face of humanity in great ways. And, you know, you start talking about no more, you know, if you could all of a sudden cure cancer, heart disease, and all these kinds of things. So those kind of big picture things that can I move the needle on something like that? I don't know. But those are the things that I get really excited about. So I try and use the most cutting-edge technologies that I can find that aren't just gimmicks to help business owners to, you know, hey, to have more time with their families, to do incredible things with their businesses, and hopefully, you know, some of those things will make a difference in the world for people.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of that, that is so inspiring. And speaking of that, John, if you were to be looking at the work you're doing and the great contribution that you're making, if you were to expand that out to how that might impact the world almost from the standpoint of a legacy, what does that look like for you?
I'll tell you, I'll steal from Mike Koenig. Mike's goal, his stated goal, is to make millionaires. He wants to make a million successful entrepreneurs and make each one of them a millionaire. And his goal and objective in doing that is because those millionaires, those people that are creating those businesses, are what's going to help solve the economic woes in our country. I mean, you know, the government can do a lot of great things, but it's the small and medium-sized businesses of this country that employ the vast majority of people. And I'm getting to the point very quickly where I used to outsource, you know, a lot of this stuff, you know, here in the United States, to, you know, different organizations and whatnot. But I'm actually looking to, you know, build my own company here and employ, you know, as many people as I can to help, you know, raise the economy and boost the economy and help other people. And I fervently hope that some of those people, some of those employees come to me and say, you know what, John, I appreciate everything you've done for me, but I'm quitting because I'm starting my own company or I'm going in my own direction. And I think that's great. That's what I want to inspire more entrepreneurs to go out there and have them help go out, you know, and just – you know, get that, you know, kind of viral effect that social media is so good at, and spreading, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit out there and getting people to realize that with the way technology is today, you know, the failure rate on businesses, I don't remember, know the latest statistics, but it tends to be abysmal because people don't have the proper training and the proper funding to get going. Well, I mean, that's all of what Mike is about, is trying to help, you know, move that needle for those people and get those kind of things going. And then he and his wife also have a foundation where they're helping women in Africa to become entrepreneurial through microfinance and doing, you know, helping them start businesses, you know, with like goats and livestock and things like that, or cell phone charging stations, and, you know, just a variety of different things, because they believe that empowering women all over the world who are in abject poverty will help to make the world a better place. And I totally agree with that. And I guess in closing to that question, I would love to be able to, you know, just like everybody else, I'd love to build a big, you know, huge honking business, make a big pile of money and take a bunch of that and put it into a foundation for, you know, for kids who need cochlear implants that can't afford it, that can't get the insurance for it, and help, you know, them with their journey.
Mm. Wow, that is, again, so inspirational. John, thank you so much for all that you've shared. It's just been such a full and enriched time with you. And I was wondering, I know that those reading or listening will definitely want to learn more and tap into your wisdom further. So is there a website where they can go to find out more about you and find some resources?
Sure. Usually I pretty much send people to, we actually just created a new Facebook fan page for my author page. That's the book, you know, we're kind of promoting the book through that and everything. And that's at facebook.com/ John fan page. That's JOHNS fan page. And if you go to Amazon, of course, if you just type my name, my last name is spelled COTE. If you just type John Cote in Amazon, my book will pop up, and our company website, which is actually in redesign because one of my marketing partners said, well, you need more than just a landing page, which is what I was doing, collecting emails and things like that. So they can go to rocketsocialmarketing.com. It's another way to get a hold of me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And once again, that's www.rocketsocialmarketing.com, right, John?
That's correct.
Okay, fantastic. And for anyone who would like more information about Expert Insights Publishing and our family of opportunity, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. John, thank you again so much. It's just been such a pleasure.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been great. I just kind of got this call out of the blue. I really appreciate you tracking me down and setting me up for this. This has been fantastic. You're a great interview. I really appreciate all the insightful questions. And I sincerely hope this is helpful to your followers out there.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. And everyone have a wonderful week.